We are very happy to have Bobby L. from Point Pleasant Beach speaking tonight at Lawrence Harbor. Hi, Bobby.
Hi. I'm Bobby. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite steps, Step 10. Basically, I've been in program 7 years as of last month. I've been abstinent for a little tweaking over 5 years, and I've been in recovery for about 4.5. And the reason I make a difference between that, because abstinence to me was, yeah, I wasn't eating my red trigger foods and engaging in my red trigger behaviors, but I didn't like it. It was hard. And I would not have been able to continue in that manner, just like any other diet and food plan I'd been on, unless I'd worked the steps and got recovery. I'm totally fond of 4 and 10, even though all the steps are necessary, they're close to my heart. I was one of those that didn't like being told what to do, and when my sponsor told me I had to be abstinent before we could start the steps, that was my answer to him. I went outside of OA to another program and found somebody that weighed 300 pounds who had no clue what OA was, who I said, I want to work the steps, and she said, okay, fine. And so she took me up through step 4. And my abstinence would be like I'd be fine for maybe 5 days and binge on the weekend. I might be good for 2 weeks and then binge and then good for 3 weeks. So I'd have spells. And I had enough clarity that when I hit step 4, the aha hit. Oh my goodness, I'm the problem. And that was when I got abstinent. I was working step 4. So nothing else worked, but working step 4 did it. I got recovery when I hit step 10. So those steps are very special to me. To other people, maybe not, but they're milestones for me. So I'm going to talk about step 10. I'm going to talk about my evolving step 10. So again, when I talk about it, I don't want you to think that the way I'm doing it is the only way or the right way. I will get passionate because, like I said, I'm really fond of these steps, and if it weren't for them, I would not have abstinence, I wouldn't have recovery, and I wouldn't still be there. And I'm going to talk about the evolution of it so you can see how I got to where I am now and why it's so important. In February, there's a reading, and it is by Aesop. I guess Aesop's fabled dude. Men often bear little grievances with less courage than they do the large misfortunes. And this hit me because that was me. When I was stressed out, when there was this horrible disaster, I was fine. I could handle it. I was on top of things. Why? Because I felt needed. My ego, my pride, my selfishness was right on top of things. So I was cool with that. It was usually after the stressor went down and I was bored. Nobody was paying any attention to me anymore. My self-esteem went down the chute. Or those little tiny things, somebody looks at you funny, they say something funny, somebody else got a promotion, I didn't get the raise I wanted, I got one tick less on my performance review than I wanted. Those little things drove me nuts, and that's what I ate over. And that's what it says, the minor nuisances that threaten to drive me mad. I can cope with fire and flood, what else is there to do? But I have the most alarming urge to bash my head in when I've misplaced some infernal object without which I can't continue to do what I'm doing. So that one was key to me. And that's why step 10 is so important. It is step 10 that keeps those minor nuisances manageable for me. Without step 10, that disease just sneaks right back in and takes over me. So I have a handout. 1, 2, 3. When I started out, again, I'm obsessive, compulsive, perfectionistic, control freak. And the first time I worked the steps, I did it through the 12 and 12 workbook. So I answered all the questions doing my thing, and I got to step 10. It said, at the end of the day, take an inventory. So I started going online, finding out what are these things I have to do at the end of the day to do my inventory. And you will see here 2 pages worth of questions. And I would sit diligently at the end of the day, because it says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Basically, I would sit down and go through all these questions. And the way they're sort of organized for me, I put which step I think it really goes to, but say somewhere between 1 and 12 was my looking at what was my part and what went on during the day. So these were questions. Was I afraid of losing something? Did I resent someone? Was I trying to change a people, place, or thing? And then if you look at, I guess it's like 14 to 17 to 18, it's my little reminder, I'm not in charge. Who's in charge? So it's a couple of questions. What am I powerless over? And sometimes that's where I get stuck even now. I don't want to admit that I am powerless over what somebody's doing. It's not right. Of course, that's another defect. That's my self-justification that I can be all flipping out over what they're doing because it's not right. And then if you look at 19 and on down, they're what I call, it's the what action do I need to take? If you notice, prayer is in here, but I'm a big action-oriented person. When I read the big book, it said this is a program of vigorous action. And I keep hearing, well, we pray. It's very important to pray, but and I've heard people say, that's my action. So I had the feeling I could just lay down on my bed and say, take care of it, take it away. And nothing happened. So once I got to step 10, I realized I had to take action. The amends part, 8 and 9, amend does not mean apologize. I affectionately say the A is apologize, but the rest of the word is mend. It means mend your way. If you make an amendment to something, it's a change. So to me, once I've identified my part, my big item is I've got to figure out how to amend my behavior. I have to change. Now, granted, I know that I can only take the footsteps. The miracle happens with some other higher power. And whatever your spiritual belief, I believe in karma. So I reap what I sow. I get what I give. So I have to give it first before I can get it back in my spiritual belief system. For others, it might be God has to see that you are willing. And then when he sees you really are willing and you've got another behavior in place, he can take the old one away and leave you with what you're practicing already. Some people say God won't take it away until he can see you've practiced it enough, that you're comfortable with it. So whatever your thought pattern is, these actions are very important part of my step 10. So living in what I call steps 10, 11, and 12 enables me to maintain the physical, emotional sobriety that I need. Now, when I do my step 10, it does include 11 and 12. I had started out working the 12 and 12. You're saying the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer and lots of other prayers, the serenity prayer. So prayer, even though it's step 11, it was all through the thing. And my spiritual practice had me meditating. So I used meditation and prayer throughout all of the steps. So by the time I got to step 10, there were tools to me that I was using to work my way through the steps. So my step 10 includes prayer and meditation as I go. And again, I'm saying action is important. One of the biggest actions, regardless of what my defect is, that gets me out of my stinking thinking is service. So I was already doing step 12 as part of my step 10. I had to do service. That's what most of my act as ifs, or I call them pay it forwards, are. That's the thing that I do to mend my behavior. So my step 10 was all 12 steps. And that's the way I started, doing that every night. One of the things I will say, if you look at page 2, is again, this is my control freak perfectionist. when I figured out what my act as if was going to be, my change in behavior, it had to be a smart objective. It had to be specific and measurable and something realistic. So let's say I gossip a lot. And that one's sort of gone now because I worked on that one for a couple of years. So my intention was, I'm not going to gossip today. Well, that's pretty big. Every day if I said I'm not going to gossip, guess what? Didn't happen. So I started off with a very specific one. I am not going to gossip for the first 2 hours of my day. Well, that was a no-brainer because I woke up, my husband's asleep, I'm talking to the dog, I'm driving 2 hours to work. No gossiping. Yay! So I did that for a while. And it was, that included, like, if I started thinking about someone, it was like, stop it. No gossiping. And then I said, all right, 3 hours. I'm not going to gossip for 3 hours. So it was very specific, very measurable. I knew whether I accomplished it or didn't. And, of course, 3 hours meant I'm at work, and now other people are starting to come in, and the little coffee chatter starting, and it's like, I can't talk, I can't chime in. I have to sit here and shut up for an hour. And I stretched it to most of the day. Am I perfect at not gossiping? No. But little specific, measurable objectives to work on what was going on there. Then I started studying the big book. And lo and behold, on page 84, where it says, this brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. Continuous, as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once, not at the end of my day. That's what it's like hitting me in the face. It's like, at once, not at the end of my day. We ask him at once, I lost my place, to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately. And again, it could be you just look up and discuss it with God. It could be that you call your sponsor then or some other OA person. And make amends quickly if we have harmed someone. So again, the amends is the apology if you need to, but it's a change of behavior, the mend part. We then resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. There's a service part. So this is exactly what I was saying that I did. Love and tolerance is our code. So when I read this, I'm like, oh, geez, I have to start working on my step 10 throughout the day. So I started saying, okay, my intention is to notice when I do these things throughout the day. And guess what? I'd get to the end of the day, and either I'd be sitting there going, oh, it was a good day, I didn't do anything wrong. Or I'd be going, it's a really nasty day. It was just really horrible. But I wouldn't know why it was a nasty day. It was just icky. And then one day, I was noticing what I was doing as I was going through the day, because just setting the intention usually helps. Like, if I asked you how many red cars you saw tonight, would you be able to tell me? But if I tell you tomorrow, notice all the red cars, you may not get them all, but you'll start seeing them throughout the day because you're setting that intention to look for red cars. So just because I was setting the intention to look for my defects, I started seeing them. Thank you. Unfortunately, I said something to my sponsor one day because I'm like, okay, I saw them, and every time one cropped up right then and there, I like figured out what my part in it was, and I figured out how I needed to behave. I'm exhausted. I have a headache. I'm going home, and I'm going to go to bed. And his comment to me, and I could have punched him if he'd been present, was, non-acceptance is exhausting. My whole day was like, I thought I was doing this wonderful step 10 work, and yeah, I was noticing my part, and I thought I was taking action, but I really wasn't. I wasn't letting any of it go. It was all stored in my body. So that didn't work either. So I went to another step. Again, perfectionist, anal, compulsive, please, I'm not saying anybody do this, but for me, it took me where I needed to go. My journal. I started dividing my day into six parts. I would start at 5 o'clock because that's when I leave the house, and I'd pick a defect that I was going to look for the next 3 hours. And not all of my defects, but there's usually three or four that are rampant in my life at any one time. So I might put impatience down. And I'm like, my intention is for the next 3 hours just to notice when I'm impatient. At 5 o'clock, that was a good one because I'm driving to work and I'm cussing out and flipping the bird to all the trucks. So by the time I get to work, a couple hours late at 8 o'clock, I'm going to look back over the last 3 hours. Okay, how often was I impatient? I flipped the bird 3 times. I yelled at somebody from my car. I cussed at my computer and slammed on my desk when it didn't boot up right. So I have little notes as to things I did. And now I set an intention as to what I'm going to look for the next 3 hours. And I did that for probably 2 years. I also had my little meditation journal going on. And what was really interesting is I was becoming more aware of the little stuff that came up. And not only that, what I did with it, how I stored it in my body, how my stomach would knot, or my temples would tense, or the hairs would stand up, or I'd tighten my fists. I could start seeing all that body stuffed, all these little things, the little things that got on my nerves throughout the day. What was also interesting is even with this intensity of looking at myself, 2 days later, when I'm looking, maybe I'm cycling again back through impatience because I've cycled through a couple other defects, I'm like, oh, I forgot this incident that happened. I didn't even write it down. So even with narrowing my day down into 3 hours at a time, I was still missing stuff that I was not letting go of. I was either storing it, or the other thing that I say happens is that I deny it. I guess that's the best way. I don't know what to call it. But you're in denial. You sort of sit there and you say, yeah, here's my part. It's jealousy. Well, it's a stupid thing to be jealous over. Let it go. But I didn't work the rest of the steps on it. I only got up to step 4. Guess what happens when I only work it to step 4? It's stored someplace, my mind stream, even if it's not in my body. And then after 3 or 4 times when the same person does the same thing, this is the 3rd time they did this to me, how dare they? And it's the minute I do that, I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't let it go. I didn't really work my step 10 on it because that story's still in there and I'm repeating this loop over and over again. So I moved into actually just 12-stepping throughout the day. That's how I worked it, because I realized, you know, the way I was doing it before. So on the next page, I've got 10-stepping through an issue, but it's really 12-stepping it. And OA's got all sorts of forms on the web, 12-stepping through an issue. They've got this nice little tiny thing you can put in your wallet. So if you're trying to do a continuous step 10, you can pull this out at any time and look at it as your little cheat sheet to figure out what's going on. But I just would do it really quickly, because by this time I could recite a summary of each of the steps. So when something happened, what am I powerless over? Everything. I can't change anything that happened here. So that was almost a given. Sometimes, though, if I was really upset, I'd have to say, I'm powerless over that person's opinion. So that it's like, I must be tolerant. They're entitled to their opinion. All right? Step 2, who's in charge? Not me. Step 3, am I willing to let go of this? Yes. What that means is I have to look for my part. What's my part? Well, for me, it's really easy. I only have 3 defects. I have something called attachment. Either it's something I want because it brings me pleasure. It's something I don't want because it brings me pain, or it's ignorance. I'm forgetting who's in charge. And that usually means there's a fear there because I forget who's in charge and I'm trying to control it. So on the spot, it's real easy. I just have to go, what is it? Am I avoiding pain? Am I trying to get something? Now, everything comes from that. Jealousy, lust, greed, hate, anger, resentment, fear. They all come from those 3 things. So it's always my ego, and it's one of those three things that my ego's trying to protect me from or get for me. And at least on the spot, that's about as far as I need to get it. I'm getting better at poking at exactly what the issues are. And I also carry something with me from online, which I didn't give you. It's from AA, and it's a page of 100 defects and assets, and you can see how worn it is, how often I pull it out. And if I really can't figure out what's going on, I pull this out, and when a word goes, then I know that's the defect that I'm dealing with, because I cringe, everything tightens up, and I'm like, oh, yuck, that's it. So that's how I do my step four on the spot. And am I willing? Yeah, I don't like being miserable like this. My feeling is making me miserable. It's making me sick. So yes, I am willing to let it go. I always say that. I may not always really let it go, but I say that. And then a quick prayer, take it away. But then the other thing is, I don't expect it to be taken away unless I do the footwork. So I have to figure out what my act as if or pay it forward is. If I'm jealous, I need to say something nice to that person right then or very soon thereafter. If I don't, it festers and it gets worse, and I the food starts calling. Never fails. If I'm impatient, I get in the right lane. I get in the slow lane. So I've got all these little things that I know that, all right, that's the trigger. This is what I have to act as if, even I don't want to act as if. I have to do it. And there's a psychological thing that I may not like somebody, but if I say something nice to them, it's almost like my brain can't wrap itself around not liking them when something nice is coming out of my mouth. And just the doing it starts to change that stinking thinking. And then the other thing is, there's always service. So even if I can't make it up to somebody, like let's say I've cut somebody off in the store in line, and that person's long since gone, I'll let somebody go in front of me, and in my mind I'm dedicating this to the person that I cut off. So even though I can't make amends to that one person, so that's what I call the pay it forward if I can't do it there. So I get up to 9, and that's my 10. And basically the 11 and 12 comes with the rest of the big book reading here. When you get to step 11, according to the big book, which happens to be at the bottom of page 85, it says, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. When we retire at night. So the big book says the nighttime thing is part of step 11, not part of step 10. The 10 we do throughout the day. We constructively review our day. So I still go back and I go through all of this at the end of the day. The only thing that I found now that I'm doing a continuous step 10 is that at the end of the day, I don't have that repeating story. And it was the other day, somebody, I guess it was Monday at a meeting, somebody said, how was your day? And I went, it was fine. And I went, it was a really horrible day, but it was fine. And that's because I worked my step 10 throughout the day and let go of things. And at the end of the day, I wasn't stressed. I wasn't exhausted. When I looked back over how stressful it was and all the stuff that came across my desk at work, it was like, oh, should have been stressful, but it wasn't. It just was. There was no emotion attached to the day. So a lot of times, if I work 10, when I get to the end of the day to do my 11, there isn't something big hanging. So my step 11 ends up being the repeating story. What do I need to do about this repeating story? So I may do another step 10 at the end of the day on whatever's repeating in my head. Then I pray. I do a dedication prayer, dedicating anything I did do that was good to all other beings and their success and happiness. And I go to bed happy. When I wake up in the morning, It says, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. So when I get up in the morning, again, I'm saying a prayer in the morning, usually some stumbling to the bathroom. If I'm struggling with something, I may have a mantra that I'm doing. I may meditate for a while. But the idea here is when I wake up in the morning, before things have really started to get me going, that's when my mind is clearest and it's the calmest. And that's when they say prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening. That's when I hear. That's when I get the real insight as to, all right, yesterday this was your act as if, here's what you really need to do today. This is your pay it forward or your act as if. If it's not something specific, it might be that I'm going to set a plan for something to do based on something I've been struggling with, even though it may not have happened the day before. So that's where I've sort of gone with my step 10, is that I step 12 it continuously throughout the day. Then as part of my step, I'll call it 10, 11, at the end of the day, I see what's residual. And then the next morning, after more prayer and meditation, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. Now, it doesn't take a lot of time because the end of the day is sort of, I'm calming down for bed, because the worst thing in the world is if I go to bed with that repeating story, guess what? You don't sleep. I don't sleep. I dream it. I will wake up every half hour going through whatever thing it was that I'm still upset over, replaying it over and over. So I have to clear everything so that I go to bed and I sleep well. It's the most amazing thing. And when I wake up because I've slept well, I'm really close to my higher power to get insight into how to handle the day. And if I'm not, then I know my step 10's not working and I need to figure out why it's not working. I had a very bad month last month and couldn't let go of stuff. It went on for a month, and I actually went out to binge. 5 years of abstinence, and I went out to binge. I planned it. Going to the food store to get doggy food, then I'm going to the food store, and I'm going to get my, this, and I'm going to sit in the car and binge, and I'm going to tell everybody at OA, tough, I'm gone, I'm done. Well, I go down to the end of the mall, and it was an AMP, so it wasn't there anymore. Okay, somebody really loves me. There's a movie theater on the other side. I'm going around there. And, of course, I went to go around the mall and got distracted by a hamburger joint. Now, hamburgers are on my thing, so I stopped and had a hamburger. And when I finished, I went to the gym and exercised, went to a meditation class, and went home and went to bed. And the next day, I woke up okay. Now, I still wasn't okay. And I knew I wasn't okay because something was there. That was the white-knuckled abstinence, that if I've just denied something. But I couldn't figure out what was bothering me. And I'm like, I've got all this emotion in me. I need to cry. So I went to the movies all by myself in the dark to a very sad movie, and I sat and cried all through the movie. When I came out of the movie after crying, all that emotion was gone. Then I did my step 10, and I figured out exactly what my jealousy was all about. And I sent my little email off to the person I wanted to kill, actually saying just what was choking me up and congratulating her for doing something I could never do, wasn't able to do for 10 years in my career. It still is like there's still something there, but overnight the food stopped calling. Finally, I realized I was only working to step 4. I realized jealousy was my problem. I wasn't doing anything further. But one of the reasons, even though I was trying, I was so emotional about the issue, it was like I was binging because of the emotion being so strong, so I couldn't think clearly to work my step 10. So that's the other thing to be aware of if you feel stuck. Maybe you need to exercise, maybe you need to call, maybe you need to write. Maybe you need to cry, whatever it is to vent the emotion, and then go back and try your step 10 work again. The one thing is when I've tried to work this with some of my sponsees, it's overwhelming. So, the last page is the quickie, right? Now, for me, I had to work through the 12 stepping through the issues so that I'm not skipping steps. The big book says half measures availed is nothing. So if you skip steps, just like I'm telling you, last month I was only working at step 4, didn't work at all. And the food called again. So you can't skip steps. But basically, on the spot, you could divide it into 4 parts. And this would be pretty easy. Both of my sponsees have picked this up pretty easily. What's the problem? Resentment or fear? I don't like something, I'm afraid of something. Again, what are those 3 things? Fear, aversion, attachment. It's one of the 3 usually, because I don't get upset unless my ego's upset. So it's one of those 3 things. The big book calls it our self-centered selfishness. I consider my ego to be a 2-year-old child. So if it wants something, it's going to kick, it's going to bite, it's going to spit. If you yell at it, it's going to hide in the closet. If it does something good, it wants a sweet. If it does something bad, it wants a sweet. So that's my ego. It's ignorant. It wants something or it doesn't want something. So what's the problem? What's my part in it? Now, when I get to my what's my part in it, I've already assumed that I'm powerless over other people. I'm not in charge. And I am willing to let go of whatever this ugly feeling is. So what's the ugly feeling? What's my part? And it quickly, which of those 3 things, which subset is there, if I can figure it out. Quick prayer, please take my jealousy away. Please take my impatience away. Please take my greed away. Whatever it is that had popped up. And then what's my action? And if you can't think of I call them antidotes. You know, if you don't like something, you've got to do something loving back. So what's the opposite? That's where that little cheat sheet helps. If you're impatient, you have to be patient somehow. If something you're hoarding something and being stingy or selfish, you have to give it away. Or at least something else so that you develop that feeling instead of the other one. And if you can't figure out what it is, just do service. Any service. It makes no difference what service. I've been very lucky at work that when I'm sitting there in the middle of a step 10 and can't figure out what to do over the email that's sent me ballistic, the next one comes in and somebody's asking for something, and of course my immediate answer is not my job, and I went, service. Let me do this for that person. Let me do the footwork and figure out who they need to go to, or let me look it up. And just putting myself into working on the other thing for someone, and I've got the heart of I'm trying to help them. When I come back to the email or the issue that upset me, now I'm calm, the emotion's gone, and I can think of a very quick amend or service that I need to do to deal with that one. So distraction from the stinking thinking, whatever you want to call it, service is always a good antidote. So real quick, what's the problem? What's my part? Quick prayer. What do I need to do is the antidote. And that could be a very quick step 4 to think through what do I need to do on the spot. The key is the awareness, like I said, that something has bubbled up that needs that step 10 right now. So I have what I call a red flags. Whenever I hear I, me, mine, I don't like, I don't want, I need, there's a defect there. That's the selfishness that I have. I'm only thinking of me. Now, granted, I may not end up liking everything in this world, but when I say, when that little thinking comes up, I don't like, what that means to my little 2-year-old is, get it away. I don't want it. And that's not what I want for my program. I want to be able to say something like, and we have it in the inner group, one of the readings we read every month is something to the effect of, Let's keep the attitude that I disagree with you, but I love you. And that's what I want. When that feeling of I don't like something comes up, I want it to be, yeah, that's not for me, but hey, if it works for you, great. If you like it, great. And I want that tolerance of what doesn't work for me. So that's what I'm trying to get by working my step 10. And by getting that kind of tolerance, I get peace. I get serenity. So I jokingly tell my sponsees, it's my real defect of selfishness that keeps me motivated to working my continuous step 10, so I get peace. And that's my step 10. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I did bring bookmarks. They're silly little bookmarks, but again, pass them around. The idea is that if you get this serenity, this inner peace from working this continuous step 10, what it says here is, and when there is only darkness and the storms of life are closing in, may the light at the core of your being illuminate the world. And working a continuous step 10 for me helps keep that light going. So yeah, I have no control. I'm powerless over life. I'm powerless over the storms. And again, as the front of the handout says, we don't get to choose the weather. We don't choose the vessel. But working that continuous step 10 connects me to my higher power. And opens that light. It says, much can be done to manage the sails and guide the helm. So I can feel that peace. And it's, I don't know how to say this, but some of the people in program that were the ones that, you know, I saw what they had and I wanted it, that peace radiates off of them. Sort of like Santa Claus or something like that, you know, or Christ, when I see some of the pictures on the church, especially the one with the little kids all around him, it radiates a peace and a light, and you just are like, ah, I want that. So, keep the bookmark to remind you the continuous step 10 can bring you that. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing.
And what I'd like to do, unless you have a topic, is have people share as to what they do. So different ideas can